Boker
Tov.
Shalom Lechem.
Shalom.
Good. So we're reading through Genesis 24, verses 1 through 10. So you all have your sheet for Mary and Katie. The four pages you have. One is a photocopy from the standard edition of the Hebrew Bible, which will look a little overwhelming. There's a lot going on those pages. There's one that has just a Hebrew text, which is a little easier to read than the photocopy one, because there's less going on the page. And it has the consonants, the vowels, and then a number of marks that you haven't seen before, and these are accents and cantillation symbols. Then there's a color coded one, which they colored the vowels and the accent marks. The vowels are colored in red, the accent marks in blue, in green, and other marks in blue, just to help you distinguish what is what. And then a final color-coded one with the lines broken up to show you the various levels of how the narrative is working. So I went through that in greater detail back in December. So we will be working off of just this triple-spaced or double-spaced black and white copy. So we got through verse 6, is that what I understand? Verse 7, is that right? So who is prepared enough to... Melody? That's verse 7. Good. So verse 7, Adonai Elohe HaShamayim Asher lakachani mebeit avi u me'eretz molati va'asher deberli va'asher nishbali lemor le zaracha etain et ha'aretz hazot hu yishlach malako lefanecha v'lakachta Isha Livne Misham. And you can translate that? Good. So the Lord, the God of heaven, and then we have Asher as a relative pronoun. We're going to get several relative pronouns in this sentence. Who lakachani, so the verb lakach, he took, and first person singular pronominal suffix, he took me, mebeit avi, from the house of my father, so min with beit, and then avi, av is father, the e is a possessive pronoun, ume eretz molati, and from the land of my relatives, family, va'asher, diberli, so another relative clause, and who spoke to me, va'asher nishba li, and who swore to me, lemor, saying, or open quotation marks, l'zaraka, to your seed, zara is seed or offspring, etain, I will give, the verb is natan, so it's dropped its initial nun, et ha'aretz hazot, this land, Eretz, and then with the demonstrative pronoun. So that's what he said, that's what he swore to Abram. Now Abram is, so then we have closed quotation marks, hu yishlach, he, and then yishlach, he sends, or will send, so non-perfective, there's no time about it, you could translate it either send or will send. Malako, his servant, ma'alak is servant, or angel, his servant, lefanecha, ahead of you, in front of you, v'lachachta, and you will take, isha, a woman, livni, for my son, misha, from there. Judy, are you up for the verse 8?
No,
right. So, I'll read it first. V'imlo, tove, ha'isha, la leket acharecha v'nikita mishavuati zot rak et b'ni lo tashev shama. So v'imlo tove ha'isha laleket acharecha, and if, we might say, but if the woman is not willing to go after you, so la leket is la, expressing to, and then leket, an infinitive of halak, v'nikita, so now we get the then clause, then you will be free or guiltless, me shavuati, from my oath, zot, this one, from this oath of mine. Pause, so we get that accent mark under the zot, that little upward pointing arrow, carrot, that's the main break of this within the verse. Then rak expresses a strong exception. So you then have to use context to figure out how best to translate it and say it's, so Dobson helpfully puts, whatever happens, it's really something strong like that. Whatever you do, make absolutely sure, et bani, my son, lo tashev shama, you do not take back there to there, return to there. So this is Abram speaking to a servant, saying, sending him off to Paddan Aram to get a wife for his son, Isaac, and want to make absolutely sure that whatever happens, that Isaac must not go back there. Good. In verse 9. Marilyn, you came for that? Okay, good. Vayasem ha'eved et yado tachat yerek Avraham Adonaiv vayishava lo al hadavar hazeh. Okay, so vayasem ha'eved et yado, then the servant placed his hand, tachat yerek Avraham Adonaiv, under the thigh of Abram, his master, pause, semicolon, vayishava, and he swore to him, lo, al hadavar hazeh, concerning this matter, that he wouldn't take Isaac back to Paddan Aram. Davar, thing, this matter, this thing. Okay, choice. Do verse 10. Good. Vayikach ha'eved asara gemalim megemale Adonaiv vayelek v'kol tuv Adonaiv b'yado. Vayakam vayelek el Aram Naharaim el Ir Nahor. Then the servant took 10 camels from the camels of his master, and he went v'kol tuv Adonaiv b'yado, and every goodness of his master in his hand. So that's all part of what he took. Then pause, that's our main break. Vayakam vayelek, and he arose and he went to Aram Naharayim, El Ir Nahor, to the city of Nahor. Right, well then all? Yeah, so he took these 10 camels and he took every other sort of imaginable good thing that his master had and loaded up these camels with them all. So it's saying he took them all in his hand. He wasn't literally carrying them. He would have loaded them all on his camel, but they were all in his control, at his disposal. Aram Naharayim. Well, it's just a place name. So Aram is the place of Aram, and there were probably several places called Aram in the ancient world. There was a whole kingdom. Later on, there'd be a kingdom called Aram, which we get Aramean and Aramaic, and then Naharayim will distinguish that place from other places. So we just simply transliterate that, Aram Naharayim. And Naharaim is literally the two rivers. So this would be up in the land, the two rivers in question there would be the Tigris and the Euphrates. So this is Upper Mesopotamia, where Mesopotamia literally means between the rivers. So it's what today would be northeastern Syria. Okay, then if you look at this color-coded version here, this is how I then would lay out a text if I'm working on it. And this shows some of the grammar that we've been working on. I think I started explaining this last month. So verse 1, and then I break this down into clauses. So verse 1, we have two clauses. V'Avraham zaken ba'yamim. So now Abram was old. He was going on in years. And those are both perfective forms of the verb, so giving us introductory information at the beginning. So I've indented them one level and put the verbs there. I've colored them green for a perfective. That's just. Then we get given another clause with a perfective form of the verb. V'Adonai Berach et Avraham b'kol. Now the Lord had blessed Abram in everything. So these are viewed as past actions already completed at this point that we launch in on the story. And then our story really begins in verse 2 when we get our first of these continuing narrative forms of the verb. Remember those? That's the vayomer. So va with a dagesh in the next consonant. So that I keep at the margin. So no level of indent on that. And I color the continuing narrative form of the verb in cyan. And the narrative will unfold as a whole string of these continuing narrative forms of the verb. So then Abram said to his servant, Zakan Beitol, the old one of his house, i.e. senior servant of the house, Hamoshel Bakol Asher Lo, the one who had dominion over all that it was his, i.e. his chief servant. Simna, and then now we get speech, and I indent that two levels and color that in red. And if you look at this, you see how much speech there is, and this is very typical of Hebrew narrative. A lot of it is made up of speech. And we get enough action. The narrators prefer to unfold their action through dialogue between people. This enables me to quickly see where the dialogue is. So we have that speech, verse 2b through the end of 4. Then Vayomer Elav Ha'eved in verse 5. Now we're back to a little piece of narrative. The servant said to him. Then we get more speech. The rest of verse 5. Verse 6, we get another little bit of narrative. Then Abram said to him. And then a longer speech through the end of verse 8. And then the narrative closes verses 9 and 10 with a string of these continuing narrative verbs. Then the servant placed his hand under the thigh of Abram, his master. That's so vayasem. That's the first continuing narrative form of the verb. Then he swore. That's our next verb. Then the servant took. Then he went. And finally, then he arose and went. Okay. So that's sort of how the broader flow of the narrative is working. And find that to be a very helpful tool to see the structure of a narrative. And Dobson has done a good job at helping in these 8 chapters we've covered so far to distinguish these main components of what's going on in a narrative. And it's recognized that these are the 3 main things, components that you have of a Hebrew narrative, is this continuing narrative form of the verb. So that forms the backbone of the story. And then you have dialogue. And then you have these other forms of the verb. So perfective verbs and then also participles, we'll see, that give us either background information or which we say is off the storyline. It's the narrator is filling things in a bit for us. Okay. Well then, that's our first piece of straight narrative straight out of the Hebrew Bible. So section 11, page 98, refers us to the picture on page 99, which is an actual page from a manuscript, so handwritten manuscript of the Torah, and this printed version of the Hebrew Bible is then intended to be a near replica, is to replicate these ancient manuscripts. And you see that in that there's notes down the left-hand margin, the outside margin, and the notes at the top and notes at the bottom. Some of that gets included into this. Okay, and then over to page 100. We have some vocabulary to run through. So beginning at the top right, Bani. Bani, my son, so made up of Ben and E, the pronominal suffix. Mashal. Mashal is a proverb. Dor. Dor, generation or an age. Shame. Shame is name. Rina. Rina, a rejoicing or a shout. Aviv. Aviv, ears of barley. It also then becomes the name of a month. And this is the Tel Aviv, the Aviv of Tel Aviv, also becomes the word for spring, the point at time at which barley is putting forth its ears. Bachar, Bachar, verb he chose. Yakol, Yakol, he was able, he overcame. Eitzel, Eitzel, an adjective meaning near. And may, may, water of. Now, mayim is water, and this is the construct of that. May, water of. Okay, then the left-hand column, Kohen. Kohen, priest. So if ever you meet somebody, a Jew, whose last name is Kohen, they're claiming that their lineage is that of being a priest. Ayeh, ayeh. Where? Shalach. Shalach, he sent. Yashav. Yashav, he sat, he stayed, he dwelt. And this will be easy to confuse with shuv, return, because often the yashav, the yod, will generally drop out. And with shuv, the vav in the middle will drop out. So both often, for both of them, you're left with a sheen and a bait. And Sham, Sham there, we've seen that a number of times, and both as Misham, from there, and Shama, to there. Shav, Shav, he returned, and that one's from, that is from Shuv. Misham, from there. Min, Min, we've had that many times, from, most often we see that the Nun has disappeared, because Min has been added onto the front of a word. And the Nun gets assimilated. Ba. In it or in her. And there's a dagesh in that hey to indicate that we're to take that hey as a consonant and not as a vowel. So that hey, in that instance, will always be a third feminine singular pronominal suffix. Asa. Asa, he did or he made. Baha. Aha, he wept. Av, Av, his father. So Avraham, Abraham, the Av, Avraham, the father of many. Bar, bar, corn. Amar, Amar, he said. And li, li, to me. So remember, l, that inseparable preposition, l, with pronominal suffix. Middle column. Shuv, shuv, that's return, so an imperative, masculine singular imperative. Me, me is the question, who? Shalacho, shalacho, he sent him. So that's made up of shalach, he sent, and then the suffix o, meaning him. And then there's been a shortening of the vowel in the first syllable. Mashal. Mashal. He governed. Not to be confused with mashal proverb up at the top right corner. So mashal, proverb, a noun, and this mashal, he governed. The difference between them, so mashal, the noun meaning proverb, has two kametzes. Mashal, the verb, has a kametz and a patah. But usually context will make it clear that you're dealing, when you're dealing with a verb. And mashal, meaning a proverb, will be rather more rare. Moshel. Moshel. So notice that pattern, o-e, which is for participle. That's the usual pattern for participle. So this is the one doing the governing, the ruling or being in charge of. Yad. Yad, hand. But really it refers to everything from the elbow down. So you sort of have to use context to decide whether it's best translated as hand or arm. Depends what activity, what it's referring to. Lachach, or lama, sorry, lama. Lama, question why. Yesh. Yesh means there is, there was. We'll cover that one more fully in lesson 9. Zeh. Zeh, this, demonstrative pronoun, near demonstrative, we've seen. Mayim. Mayim, meaning water. Zevach. Zevach, sacrifice. Avi. Avi, the father of. So Av is father. Avi is the construct form of that. Rohav. Rohav, pride. Ma'amar. Ma'amar is a word, an edict. You might notice there the root amar, meaning he said. And then Avi. Avi, my father. So you have to be careful to distinguish between Avi, father of, and Avi, my father. So Avi, meaning father of, so three words above it, will be followed by another noun. Avi, meaning my father, will not. So this context will help make it clear which you have. And right-hand column. Keves. Keves, meaning a lamb. Ma. Ma is what? So notice, referring over to the left, we have me is who and ma is what. Sadeh. Sadeh. This means countryside or field. Has a sort of wide range of meanings. It can mean the open countryside around a town. It can mean the fields that are actual fields where they grow crops, or just open countryside where they graze cattle or sheep. Shave. Shave, sit down. So this is the imperative of Yashav. He sat, whereas we saw at the top of the middle column, Shuv is the imperative of Shuv. So Shuv and Shave, easy to confuse. Har. Har is a mountain or hill country. Bazaz. Bazaz, he plundered. And Yavoz. Yavoz, he will plunder, where the second Zion has disappeared. And we get a family of verbs that have the second and the third consonants are both the same letter. And when that happens, one of those has a tendency to disappear or easily disappears in circumstances. It's a whole class of verbs like that. Makar. Makar, he sold. Ma'asa, me'asa, me'asa, what has he done? Where the ma has changed to meh here in front of a ayin. And we often come across this as the form ma'asita, what have you done? This is what God says to Adam, it's what he says to Cain. Bosh. Bosh, to feel ashamed. Mahir. Mahir, quick or prompt. The verb is mahar, to hurry. Rahav. Rahav, wide or spacious. Ravu. Ravu, increase or multiply from the verb rava. So this is the commandment given in Genesis 1. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Ravu. Kila. Kila, he finished. And kala. Kala, it is finished. So notice there, both of those are third masculine singular, but by changing the vowels, and in the first one, putting a dagesh in the lamed, we've changed the meaning of the word, so from active to passive. So this is something we're going to get introduced to in the introduction to lesson 9, is how changing the vowels will change meanings of words. That brings us to the end of lesson 8.